thank you so much for coming to my website. Pastor John, in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California. This is my special birthday presentation. That's right, February the 8th, 1944. It's when I popped on the planet. Now here it is, coming up on February the 8th, 2012. Thanks for coming to my website. Thanks for hearing me out. Here in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, RAM Radio, Reformation Apologetic Ministry. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in my heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks me to give an account of the hope that is in me, yet with gentleness and reverence." And I am really a gentle man. We're going to talk about some things today on this webcast. Baptist Fellowship offering cash incentives to churches considering female pastors. In other words, why the leaders are willing to pay expenses to search committees to consider women for church leadership. There's only one reason for that. They want to feminize the church. And if they feminize the church, they take away the masculine identity of the church. Does that cause a problem to Pastor John? Nah. My mama was a woman. I love women. I really do. I wouldn't waste my time with anyone that would want to be a pastor, though. I really wouldn't. But that's what we're going to talk about. Also, we're going to talk about what it's going to take to win young people back to a dying, aged, gray-haired church that is not relevant. As Eric Reed beats out the keys in the background, I want you to ready your hearts as you pay attention to this February the 8th webcast as I celebrate my birthday here in the year 2012. Does this music frustrate you? Well, that's all right. I can always do that. And I can take you to the next one, and so that you can feel a little bit more comfortable with the music, but I won't do that. What I'll do is I'll just get right into this. Let me read this article. This article came out on January 31st, 2012. This article was written by Sarah Zylstra, I think her last name is. The Cooperative Baptist Fellowship of Missouri, the CBFMO, will offer such cash incentives to any member church that is willing to consider hiring a female pastor. I mean, man, this thing is so diabolic. Is they're going that deep. They're saying, you know what? I'll give you money if you bring this woman in the pulpit. CBFMO leadership decided in September to pay interview, travel, and other expenses incurred by search committees that indicate a woman in their list of candidates in hopes for expanding the number of women in church leadership. If this isn't a straight-out affront to feminize what's left of the Protestant church in America, I don't know what else is. My view on it, I ain't got a view. God's view. It is abomination. And I know, you know, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear that from Pastor John. There he goes with that abomination stuff. Who's he to say that? We're going to go into the scriptures and we're going to see who is he to say that. Because I think that that's an interesting question that you raise. Who is he to raise that issue? Well, I'd like to start reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, and then maybe you can pick up a drift where I'm coming from. Paul writes and he says, "But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful." See that cash incentive? Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, ungodly, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness. This is the key scripture that I'm going to bring you. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. These men that are given these cash and, you know, incentives, avoid them. None of the 50 CBFMO churches have female senior pastors. Then here comes a quote. The whole idea behind it, honestly, is to reduce the anxiety or risk that churches feel. These CBFMO associate coordinator Jeff Langford told Christianity Today, which is a magazine, search committees don't want to break new ground or rock the boat. It ain't about breaking new ground or rocking no boat. We have a 2,000-year-old mandate that we're to ascribe to, which is called the Bible, the Word of God, which is the authority for the true church. Obviously now, since there is no one trying to sustain that particular authority, we cannot honestly be sure, can we? Then it goes on, it says, paying expenses is a way to lessen the risk of opening the door to a woman pastor, he said. Here comes another quote. Then once they open the door, I really believe that they will be surprised by the quality of candidates they're going to see, Langford said. Well, let me say this. I agree with that. As a college professor, there are formidably more women going to school than men. So you're going to find them qualified with the degrees and with papers, but they are not qualified by God. Because God is the authority who dictates who is to lead his church. It's not this other foolishness. Now, you can adapt that foolishness if you want to. You can go along with it. As a matter of fact, I was speaking with a very educated woman, my daughter, my oldest daughter. And, of course, her views are completely different from mine on this issue. And I was having a conversation with her, and I asked her one night, I said, do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to your father. Your father will never be feminized. Your father will never accept these ideas. Oh, and I know many women would like to hurl accusations at me and accuse me. They can go to hell. All of them. God has never called one into the pulpit. He never will call one into the pulpit. And you can give them money, honey, and anything else you want to give them. They are totally disqualified. It is a blasphemous thought to even pollute the pulpit with a woman that calls herself a pastor. Welcome to my 68th birthday party. I'm glad that you can attend. The article goes on and says where some see the move as giving churches a hand to keep them over the gender divide, whatever the Hades that means. Let me tell you something. I don't care if there's 50 women to one man in a church. That one man that has his Bible is the qualified candidate to give out authoritatively the blessed word of God over the 50 women that is sitting in there with penis envy. I know this sounds terrible to you, especially in this here 21st century that we're living in, because most preachers are gutless, spineless wimps that won't tell you what you need to hear. Oh, I should continue to read in my Timothy text from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Have you ever read this verse? It says, for amongst them are those who enter into household and take captive weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. See, this is what the Bible speaks about women. I know that we don't want to hear that, but I just thought that on my 68th birthday that I give you something to enliven your spirits, to let you know that there is still a decent preacher on the scene that's going to tell you the truth, that he's not going to kick the bucket and compromise, and so that you can think now you can have it your way. If you deny this very blessed word of God, if I deny it in any way, in thought and deed and intent. If I deny God, I am an enemy of God, and God will take care of his enemies throughout eternity. How he does that is up to him and his business. I affirm what he does within himself and his business to do that. I make darn sure, no, let me keep it plain, damn sure that I am following him to the T. I impress upon you to be that adamant about your Christian faith as I am. I impress upon you to stop playing these cotton-picking penny-ante games that they're playing in the church. You go to a church, has a P-male. I was going to call her a P-male because that's all she is. She's trying to be a P-male. No, she's a female. She's not a P-male. She doesn't pee like a male. She's a female. She has to squat, sit down. She can't stand up and aim. She can't. If that is offensive to the woman, try to find your place or make one. I know that when you speak like that to a woman, she wants to crash you down. She thinks she's on top. No, 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 no. You know the position. I'm not trying to be foul. I am just telling you the way it is. This is the way that a man thinks. You feminized males that have not heard language like this nor thought like this in years, this is the way a man thinks. And a man will tell a woman this. That's why I don't have a woman. One of the reasons. The second reason is I wouldn't have a woman that would not listen to a man. I would not even put up with her. That would be the most ridiculous thing I've ever thought of in my entire life. Now, that phone call that came in, it was by no mistake at all. It was a male calling Pastor John, Pastor John's barber. Pastor John's barber said, tomorrow's your birthday. I said, yes. He said, so you come in here so I can cut your hair and have you looking good for your birthday. See, that's a male that respects another male and his pastor. See, a male. He didn't call no female pastor. He didn't ask for no Mammy Yoakum because it ain't about that. Why do I take this view? Because this is the view that God has of a male pastor. He don't have in his mind, nowhere in his mind, a female pastor. Those of you females that have placed yourself in that position at the behest of some weak, feminized, jive time, a fake pastor, and I tell him that to his face, he's fake. He's fake and he did that, and so you can keep them sisters coming in because times have changed. Do we know? They're making the money. They're making all the money in the church, and all of them with their weaves and their makeup and their fake bodies, fake boobs, fake lips, fake life. I don't know why any dude would want a woman like that. To think of the old days. I was born in 1944 when everybody thought like that. I know you think that was ancient of days. Somebody told me today, one of my proteges told me that they're trying to repeal Proposition 8 and say the Proposition 8 was illegal in the state of California. I don't care what these fools do. You think I'm concerned about what these fools repealing what? Let all the gay people marry. Let them all shack up, move up, do whatever they want to do. Go ahead. You ain't messing with me and God. God got it already out there. And I know what God says about that stuff, and I got to preach it. My protege told me, that means, Pastor John, if they come into your ministry, you have to marry them. I don't have to do anything. But die. That's the only thing that I have to do is die. That's what I was taught. Old school stuff. Brother, only thing you got to do is die. So I think that we need to pay attention. Verse 8 in my text, it says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men who opposed the truth, men of depraved minds, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, Paul writes, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. See, so this folly, you know, this foolishness will come to head one day. That is what God is saying. This foolishness will come to head. The article goes on, and it says, it is easy to look across the theological divide and say, look at those hypocrites, Moeller says. They aren't hypocritical at all. The leadership is just not where the churches are on this. See, I'm sorry, I think I skipped a sentence. Let me back up so that you know who Moeller is, right? And says, where we see the move as giving churches a hand to help them over the gender divide, others, that's L. Moeller of the Southern Baptist, see the initiative as a sign that women in the church leadership just isn't working. No, I disagree with Moeller. It is working. Because when you got a woman looking up there to another woman and the woman's giving the money, and you find most American men, white and black, are not attending churches now. Let's just keep this thing real. They are not attending churches now. Now I can continue to read the article rightly. To me, it's very telling. Southern Baptist Theological Seminary President L. Moeller said, this reveals a sincere level of frustration on their part. Let me say this about L. Moeller. Who's he to talk when his name was on the UN agenda? Man, come on. L. Moeller and Southern Baptist Seminary, along with John MacArthur's college, a UN NGO. Come on, what is that all about? They were on the UN list. And then after myself and Bob Johnson pointed this out a number of years ago, it mysteriously left their websites. They didn't want to talk about it. See, this is talking out of both sides of your mouth. That's why the church is so full of hypocrisy. You can't believe what these cats are saying. Then it goes on and says, while the Southern Baptist Convention does not allow women to be pastors, affirmation of women in ministry was one of the founding principles of the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. Well, not only that the Southern Baptists don't allow them to be pastors, the Bible doesn't allow it. And one of the last denominations, and heartily I can say this to some degree, are the Southern Baptists, which will not put up with it. But they will give in eventually because it's about money and popularity and following the status quo. All right. Now, then I can read Moeller's statement. It's easy to look at the theological divide and say, look at those hypocrites, Moeller said. They aren't hypocrites at all, he says. The leadership is just not where the churches are on this. What are you talking about they're not hypocrites? They are hypocrites, Al. You're a liar. They're professing to be something when in essence they're not. They're professing to be pastors when you know that they are not, and you are a gutless, spineless idiot that will not tell them the truth. Yes, I'm speaking to you, L. Moeller, if you ever hear my webcast. No, I don't have to write you at Southern Baptist because you know who I am and you're not going to listen to me. You're going to listen to the naysayers that keep the money coming in, aren't you, Al? You and your buddies. Man, it's ridiculous how they write articles and they keep this back and forth going over and over and over. The older I get, it becomes more ridiculous when you read from these guys. The article goes on and says, those who are avidly egalitarian would say that the lack of women pastors is a remnant of gender discrimination, Moeller said. That's ridiculous. Gender discrimination, the Bible, there's no gender discrimination. The Bible says no. The Bible says, I do not suffer a woman to teach or to usurp authority over a man. We know what the Bible teaches. L goes on and says, but I think that it's actually the basic sense of biblical memory that keep congregations from moving in that direction. What did he mean by that stupid statement? Biblical memory. It isn't biblical memory. It is the authenticity, L, of the Word of God as the authority for the true Christian church today. Stop talking in mumbo-jumboism. Oh, I forgot. This is Christianity Today. This is the magazine that supposedly defines what Christians are all about. This is ridiculous. If you call yourself a modern-day evangelical or Christian, this article should outrage you. Goes on and says, it is unlikely that a woman would believe this is a real step forward, he, Moeller, said. Some have voiced concern about the rising false hopes with the female candidate who was never considered a serious candidate. Well, a serious candidate by whom? A serious candidate by an ignorant man that doesn't know what the Bible teaches? And then he goes on and says, and as seminaries graduate more and more women, the problem grows. Al, is this the skillet calling the kettle black or vice versa? Are you the one that's training these women? Why don't you train them to teach the children and look at our children? Totally messed up, right? Mohler went on and made this statement. If churches aren't going to call them, they really are facing a crisis of sorts. Well, what church? The Lord's church would never call them. But these fake churches will call them, and that is why you see their numbers growing. And see, if you're going to put something down in a magazine, why don't you speak like a first century Christian? You can't, because you're acting like a 21st century Christian where you're completely out of your mind. You white apologists that listen to me, I want you to take that where it belongs. Why don't you have Al Mohler on your little round table discussions and have that discussion with him? You see what T.D. Jakes has done to you. All of a sudden, he's Trinitarian, and everybody's forgotten all the garbage that that idiot has spoken over the airways for years. Are you people completely insane? You allow Fred Price to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, crowned in his hell faithless dome. You didn't say anything about that. You're looking at Eddie Long and you're screaming about him being wrong about Judaism and got him apologizing like the punk that he is. And the evangelical church is a weak, impotent group of individuals who are flighty on practically every matter of basic theology today. No, I'm not the final line. I'm not trying to say that. Don't get it twisted. You got my drift all out of whack here. I'm just your conscience speaking back to you, letting you know that you need to get one too. The article goes on and says, and that's why Central Baptist Theological Seminary President Molly Marshall, sounds like a woman to me, called the meeting with CBFMO leaders out of concern for finding churches for a seminary's graduates, half of which are women. The Central Baptist Theological Seminary serves the Midwest for the CBF. In other words, she's saying, we got to put these women to church. They've given all their money to the seminary, so we got to make them. No, don't you see? That is a move of Satan. You must deny them and have them teach the children and women. Ah, yes, if a Muslim listened to me, he would say, hey, that sounds a little bit like our faith. Ah, my friend, that's where y'all got it from, because we are older than you. See, Christianity is older than Islam. So you pick that idea up of men being clerics and leading from the true Christian church. It never has been that way. That's why when you look at the twisted, compromised evangelical cesspool of madness that is going on out there, it's a completely different situation altogether. Take it from a man of 68. Let me hurry, lest my barber leaves the shop and I don't get my hair trimmed up as pretty as it ought to be. Let me share this with you also, and this is very, very important. Next paragraph. The idea for the incentive grew out of that meeting and was a way of trying to shift the paradigm, she said. Now see, Molly's talking about shift the paradigm from men pastors to female pastors. Listen to this. Isn't this something? Marshall compared the incentive with the Rooney Rule, which requires National Football League teams to interview minority candidates for head coaching opportunities. Oh, but Molly, you missed something. This is not a game like football. This is life, which stands for eternal consequences. See, Molly, it's not a game. It's not a business. It's not another business paradigm. It's none of that to you women that think that this is just another high-powered business shift. Brothers, may I share something with you? That's how they get on top of us. Do you get it yet? See, they are switching the positions here. They are mounting us, if you get my drift. That's what this is. This is a royal mount on the behalf of what is. Oh, I'm being just as real as I possibly can with it, and that's how disgusting the whole thing is. I'm just keeping it in the real. I'm not one of these lily-livered theologues that's living on Primrose Lane, grew up in the inner city, know when something has taken place in my community which turns me the heck completely off. It is abomination. That's what it is. Oh, look deep in my life. You find something wrong with me. Not worrying about keeping my life secret from you folk to shut off this message. I'm telling you that when you turn over the auspices and the power of the church to a female, you have brought sacrilege to the very institution that was supposed to secure eternal salvation. That's why you came to my website, because I'm not going to play with you with this issue. This is what they've done. And they're playing hardball. I'm going to throw that hardball right back at them. No, and I'm not coming at you with some nice, fancy, theological mumbo jumbo, prissy, missy, wissy, prissy, prissy, prissy talk. I'm not going to do that, because it's not about that. I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to bring it to you like a T.I. is. In the real, in the R-E-A-L, and I want you to deal with it. That's what they've done. They've switched position, brothers. And if you like being on that position and like her being on that position, that is where you are every time you go to an institution that has one of these women in a position of such. I know this is very offensive to some of you, and you don't want to hear it, and you're saying, how dare, who is this? I know what you're saying. Who is this nigger? Don't worry about who this brother is. It's a brother in your face telling you, just like Malcolm X of old used to tell you some stuff that you didn't want to hear. And just like Louis Farrakhan today would tell you some stuff you don't want to hear. That's the kind of dude I am. I just tell you because, you know, you need to hear it. You need to hear it, and you need to square off on it. I know something about you. A lot of my friends know a lot of things about me that ain't got nothing to do with this message that I'm sharing with you right now. Don't worry. God's going to judge me for my sin. And I pray to God that he judges me very well and thrusts my butt into a burning hell for an eternity if I don't repent from my foolishness of sin. So you let me condemn myself. I want you to work on yours for following a hypocritical hussy that has no business in the house of God in that position. That's what this is all about. Because, see, I know how some folk are. They want to find something about you so they can run you down. Why don't you call me? I tell you about me. I tell you what I do when I'm in the deepest dark side of the pit of my stupid, depraved mind. But when my mind is not depraved and I am thinking about Jehovah that loves me, I will tell you what he wants me to tell you. And you need to stop following pimpery through a prissy behind the pulpit. The article goes on, and here's a quote. If we can pull away the crassness, we'll pay you to put up with this and hold your nose in an interview. Wait, let me read this right, because I don't know what she's saying. If we can pull away the crassness of, we'll pay you to put up with this and hold your nose and interview a woman, it's meant to encourage churches, even if the church may not be at the point of being ready, she said. They will never be ready without exposure to competent women. Let me answer, Molly. I will hold my nose because it stinks in the nostrils of God. Do you remember in the Old Testament when God told the Jews, you can keep your offerings, your incense, for they are a stench to my nostrils? The mere fact that a woman would try to make herself a pastor in the Christian church is a stench to the nostrils of God. Not that he has anything against women to that degree, because God loves women like he loves men and all of that. But he has chosen a man to be a man for a reason, and he never intended for a woman to act as if they are a man. And vice versa, he never intended a man to act as if that man were a woman. So that lets you know what I think about feminized males. To wit, I am not one of those. Now, look at this. It says, the incentive may be clumsy, but it has been a tool to get churches discussing the idea, Molly Marshall said. Molly Marshall, you can put this in any pipe you want to and puff on this. You are Molly Marshall. I think that's enough being said. Here's another statement. When I was in seminary, here's a quote. I had to put myself out there, she said. That's how change happens. When a church hears a competent woman offers the word of God in a thoughtful manner, what does that mean? Change happens when the issues wears the face. Well, now let me tell you something. Let me respond to this almost last sentence in the argument of this article. She says, when she was in seminary, she put herself out there. Here's a question. Did God? Because you see, Molly, if you put your butt out there, God didn't put it out there. Let me tell you something. When I went to seminary, Molly, I wasn't putting myself out there. I was doing something long before I went to seminary. See, you don't go to seminary to become a pastor. You don't go and get a degree to become a pastor. You have to be called by God to be a pastor, Molly. If that's what makes you a pastor and you got all these women going through seminary to become pastors professionally and have never been called. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what Molly just told you? Molly said, it ain't about God doing nothing. It's about me putting myself out there. See, that's what putting your hands on your hip and let your backbone slip. Oh, baby, shake it to the east. Come on, baby, shake it to the west. Come on, baby, shake it to the one that you love the best. Because you know what you said? Change happens when the issue wears a face. I know you shaking it, ain't you, baby? A real dude don't see you. He sees something that is a stench to his nostrils. Some of you guys listening to me, you need to take hold of these words. I'm telling you. I know you can't, because you've been so feminized that you think that my words are disgusting. Because I won't play that feminization of the Christian male the way you have. I ain't going out that way. And you know what? I know a lot of non-Christians that agree with me 100%. And they will tell me, for that reason, John, I am not a Christian and I would never become one. Because you have to become a female to become a part of that group. Last sentence of the article says, there are so few opportunities for female Baptist pastors in the Midwest that many leave Baptist churches for denominations like the United Methodist to find work, she said. Well, so be it, leave them. Because the United Methodist has been a liberal bastion of no theology for years. So you was confused and mixed up, and you just merely went into a more confused and mixed up background. For those of you Southern Baptist pastors, you don't have to be associated with L. Moeller. You can forget him, because he's going to play. He's going to go in whichever way the wind is blowing. And remember, now I'm looking at my degrees on the wall, too, from Biola University, from Talbot Theological Seminary, and from, you know, Cal State University and all that. Some of the people were decent. Some of them were lousy. I know that, but I don't put my credence in a degree. When I pick up the Bible is spoken to me very plainly. And in the Bible speaking to me very plainly, I am to adhere to what this Bible is saying. This is all I'm saying. Adhere to what the Word of God is saying. I like the way God puts it in the Bible, if we really want to go there. And I want to look at Paul's charge to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Now, listen what he says to Timothy. This is a man writing to another man. He's not writing to a woman. This is what he's saying to this other man. He says, keeping faith and good conscience, which some has rejected and suffered shipwreck. That's like the church today in regard to their faith. And then he mentions them. Amongst these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, who have I handed over to Satan. See, these cats were supposed to be in the church, but really, Paul said, man, I've given them over to the dark side so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. And then he says, first of all, I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgiving be made on the behalf of all men, for kings and all those who are in authority, and that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Paul goes on in verse 4 and says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? And then he says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Then he goes on and says, who gave himself a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. Now look at verse 7. He says, for this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. See, and now as you continue to read in this treatise, and I want you to read with me. I want you to go down to verse 9. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves in proper clothing, modestly and discreetly. Do you see women in church dressing like that now? No. Not with braided hair and gold pearls or costly garments. How do women look when they go to church today? You know the way they look. You see it. See. And then he says, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women, making a claim to godliness. Verse 11. A woman must receive, as a matter of fact, let me read it correctly. The woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. This is the Word of God. This is the Bible. This is the Bible. This is not John Coleman. This is why you think that for the last 38 minutes I've just rambling and blowing steam. No. You better pick up that book and read it. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. Well, what does that mean? What in the heck do you think it means? This is emphasizing godly conduct for women. Paul stressed and with St. Peter, Peter the Apostle, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is a great worth in God's sight, which we can see in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. The female in the congregation should receive instruction from the male leadership with quietness and full submission. They are not to be in leadership. I don't care what these new churchmen say today. They're ruined. They're crazy. That would be like somebody reading the blessed Quran to the Muslims and reading that Quran wrong. Wait a minute, what does the Quran say? And what does it mean? Do the hermeneutics. And we don't read our Bibles that way. We read it with the fantasy where we can do whatever we want to do. Now look what he says in verse 12. But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Now, what is this talking about? They should not attempt to turn the tables by clamoring for the office of congregational teacher or pastor by grasping authority over man. This is what this means in the Bible. If you're a Christian, this is what we follow. This is why Pastor John spoke in the first part of this webcast in a very aggressive tone. You need to know the Bible says. I'm not going to argue with you these same old stupid things. The issue now today is whenever that issue comes up, just like Christianity Today should have canned this article and not let Molly Malone or whatever her name is say a dang thing. It's an abomination to let this woman open up her mouth. And when you look at the president of Southern Baptist Seminary going along with the president of this female seminary, he's just using words because he's using compromising language because he's a feminized chump. Don't know how to talk with a woman the way he's supposed to. Afraid that, but he's already on the bottom. She's on top. And it's just a matter of months or a little time that he's going to lose his power position altogether. And they'll all be, they would have changed their positions. That is what the dark side is trying to do. It is to change. And listen, you know what? The devil couldn't have chosen an easier entity to do it through as today's modern church. Because we are quick to change our positions, aren't we? We just love to do that. Oh, yeah. You listen to an old dude. See, because old dudes, they know what this is all about. And this isn't about a man keeping a power position over a woman, because you'd be a fool if you were a man and you wanted to be a pastor of a church. You're a fool, lest God call you to be. That's what I try to tell the young protégés that see what I do and think they can do it. They can't. It's a calling. Look at this. But I do not allow a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Authority over the man. That should literally read, they should be in quietness. They should be in quietness. When you see that, it does not mean complete silence or no talking. These terms are used in other places in the Bible. But it means they should be settled down, undisturbed, not unruly. Doesn't mean not to say anything. Then he gives reasons in verse 13, for it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve. When you see this placement lined up in the scriptures, it's there for a reason. And just because it was that way, you can't say, well, we've changed it. Paul was wrong. No, this is an inspired book. If you believe that it is truly a Bible, then that book is inspired. Your argument is moot. I don't argue with females or feminized males that want to argue that because they're trying to make for peace. I say, no. You want a peace, man. And you ain't going to get a peace unless you compromise to get a peace. I'm not talking about that kind of peace. I'm talking about peace, not the other peace. You get me? I'm just keeping it real. Because that these days will make a man compromise his whole life. Because he thinks that's what it's all. Oh, well, you don't like women anyhow. No, it isn't about what I like. It is about what I know, what the heck is going on. The position has been reversed by darkness. And this darkness will be the death of the church. Take that as my 68th birthday gift to you, just to let you know that I know exactly what is going on out there, and it ain't gonna get any better in time. It's not. I think that's enough for this webcast. I wanted to share a little bit about T.D. Jakes Makes a Confession. I have that article. It came up. It's an article written by Terry Mattingly and Scripps Howard on T.D. Jakes being Trinitarian. I think I've already addressed that in an earlier webcast a couple of days ago. I would ask you to go back to listen to that webcast about, T.D. Jakes believes in the Trinity. You can listen to that. I'd like to add this comment to it. Hey, man, when you become Trinitarian, what does that say about all the other messy things that you've said about God, theology and Christianity over the past years that you've been writing those fake, no good books. You know, I see T.D. Jakes the way I look at Steve Harvey, the comedian turned impromptu pastor. I even hear that TBN is giving him position to have a show on TBN. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? And the so-called church has been so gullible that they look to these clowns. Clowns. Thank you so much for coming to my website. Thank you so much for listening to me, putting up with me. I am grateful to God for, you know, in order to be able to start another class this semester at the college. Philosophy 1, Intro to Philosophy. Classroom was just packed. Had to turn away about 20, 25 students yesterday. I just told them the system has no money. I can't put you in here. There's nowhere to... Know what some of them asked? They said, Mr. Coleman. I said, what? Can we just stand up against the back wall to hear you lecture? I told him, no, because it will break the fire code laws. The fire marshal comes through there and see 15, 20 students standing up against a wall. I'm in violation. I said, you can't do it. Now, why would you think I got a classroom of 47 students and I got 20 more wanted to sign up in my class? Either they are crazy or they know something that the Christian church hasn't caught on to yet. They know that Mr. Coleman is going to tell them the truth without any compromise, even about philosophy. They know that Mr. Coleman is going to get them to discover what wisdom is for themselves and come to a logical conclusion that is going to lead them and guide them. I had one of the male students that took two philosophy classes with me saying, Mr. Coleman, our society is changing rapidly. And we need a man your age to meet with us, to hip us to what is going on. Well, when you come to my website, that is indeed what you will discover. And I'm so glad to say that. And I want you to continuously, if you will, continuously pray for me. And God has been good. I want to, you know, just give you a progress report. And getting ready to start that homiletic class. I'm going to take my time with it, take it week after week. If you are a student of the homiletic, you know what it's going to take. It's going to take you, it's going to take you getting those two books, the book by John MacArthur on expository preaching and the book by John Brodos on the delivery of sermons. Those are the two texts that I want you to get for that class. And I am looking forward to you joining me in the classroom about the middle of February. Okay. Well, there's Eric Reed in the background letting me know that my time is up. Plan Amen. Thank you for coming to my website. Please share with your friends this particular webcast. I'm sure you would want them to hear from PJ on his birthday. Happy birthday to me. This is my birthday gift to many of you wondering how I'm doing. How do you think I'm doing? How do I sound? Oh, another thing, that picture that I have up there, me standing in front of my mantle with the African prince, because my daughter asked me what that meant. See, I just like the African prince. It's a very strong model of the way I think black man should be. Strong, okay, has a heart full of ideas and ambition. It's just a manly picture. And I'm grateful to God that he's given me my health and given me the task that he's given me. And glad that you can be named as a friend of mine. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your happy birthdays to PJ. By the way, you know the drill. Stay in the Word.